It is officially poll season for college football. Can you smell it? Can you feel it? Can you taste it? College football is coming, baby. And the top 25 coaches poll was put out via USA Today. And our buddies at On3 made a nice little graphic that I'm looking at right now. Couple of surprises, including where UGA lands. Let's welcome in our next guest, our good buddy Ian Valentino. You read him on A to Z Sports. Ian, let's start here. Texas at number one. I'm going to guess you were not surprised at that selection.
No, not too surprised. I don't know if that would have been my personal choice, but I get it, right? Like, they obviously bring back a lot. In terms of star power, familiar names, that type of thing, I think they ranked about 100th in terms of returning production from last year. So it's not like it's a veteran team, but it's familiar names. It's a coaching staff that you can put some trust in. Obviously, Arch Manning, there's a lot of intrigue there. And I do wonder how much of that week one matchup with Ohio State plays into that. You get a number one versus number two matchup. It's kind of like, well, we're going to find out either way if this is like really the best team or second best team in the nation pretty quickly.
I'm seeing a lot online about Ohio State getting too much love for simply doing what they did last year and maybe not being that same team coming in at number two.
Yeah, I get that too. You know, they lost a lot of guys, and especially on that offensive side of the ball, obviously losing both coordinators, they lost some really good assistants too. I get it. I think Penn State, if I were to have been a guessing man or even a little bit of a betting man, I would have probably said Penn State maybe deserves that number two spot over them or even the number one spot overall just because of what they brought back. But I also understand it. I do think there should be some respect to the returning champs. I do think that they earned it. They beat a lot of the teams that they're ahead of, right? So there's somewhat of an argument there. I think that I'd rather see the returning champs get a little bit more love than not. I think that they've earned that benefit of the doubt. And like I said, we do find out pretty quickly what they're going to be made of. But yeah, if you're going to make the talent and the proven stars, things like that, those type of arguments, you're not wrong. You've got Caleb Downs, you've got Jeremiah Smith. Everyone else is looking to prove themselves.
Penn State at number three. I don't think many are shocked about the Dogs here close to home. Ian, come in at number four. Do you feel like that was an appropriate ranking?
I do, yeah. That's a little bit of a respect earning there, too. Like, obviously, we know Kirby's going to have that team playing the best that they can. Last year in the playoffs with what happened to Carson Beck and a little bit thrown of a curveball there, it is what it is. Like, that team's going to be competitive. They're going to have the chance to win every single game this year. So it's hard to make the argument that anyone behind them is clearly better. I thought if you were going to, maybe you'd say Clemson because, you know, they're on the upswing, and we talked about that last time I was on, and maybe even LSU. They brought back a lot of guys. I think they were like about 40th or so in returning production. Compare that to Georgia, who was in the 80s. But look at where those programs have been over the last 10 years. Georgia's the best team in college football over that span, except for maybe the Nick Saban years of Alabama, right? So totally fine with it. If you would have put them three, I think it would have been fine too.
Notre Dame comes in at five, Clemson six, Oregon seven, no issues there. Alabama ahead of LSU at eight, LSU comes in at number nine. Interesting choice there, Ian.
That's the one I don't get. I think that's the one where I am truly scratching my head. Alabama has a little bit more coming back than LSU did, but that's not necessarily the indicator of anything, right? Like, where's the star power? You have Ryan Williams, and you've got some decent guys. Like, it's not like it's a not talented team, but who was happy with Alabama's season last year? Who's coming into this year looking at Kalen DeBauer and that staff and thinking, you know what, those guys have it figured out in the SEC? I don't know anyone. And certainly LSU and Brian Kelly have their fair share of horrifying collapses over the course of a long time, but LSU brings back a lot of star power, a lot of headlining talent. I think that that does matter. You get a second-year starter, Garrett Nussmeier. They bring in a lot of guys from the portal. They've got Brian Kelly's last couple of recruiting classes, which have been very strong coming into their sophomore, junior years. That team should – now, their schedule is really brutal. But Alabama, I just don't see the argument for it. If you told me that they went 9-4 again, I wouldn't be surprised. And I think that's an easier path to that than it is maybe 10 or 11, 12 wins, which is what you're kind of projecting them into, putting them over a couple of the teams that they're over.
Going over the most recent AP coaches poll rankings with our good buddy Ian Valentino of the A to Z Sports, the USA Today via On three, the graphic I'm looking at here. All right, so if you move a little bit further down the line, actually, before I do that, this is why I got tripped up for a second. I was trying to pull my page back up here. Garrett Nussmeier, Ian, minus 150 to be the SEC passing yards leader over Blake Shapen over Miss State. You like that?
Yeah, I do. That's going to be a big play hunting team. Just like, I mean, I love his mindset. I think Nussmeier, it's big reward, big risk. Barrion Brown is a huge playmaker. He's one of the fastest guys in the nation. It's not like that LSU team lacked talent last year, but that receiving core wasn't the typical LSU receiving core. So now you got Chris Hilton in there. Obviously, you know, they bring in Nick Anderson. If he's going to stay healthy, that's a big if. But if he's healthy, he was a guy that was projected late first round, high second round guy a couple of years ago. So that is a very dynamic team. Obviously, in the background, too, their running back room is pretty impressive. A lot of firepower there. And I think the defense is okay, but the defense isn't good enough to where I'm saying that team's going to go be able to hold opponents to like 10 points a week. Like, it's going to be a shootout a lot of those games. And look at that schedule. As I mentioned, they're going to have to be fighting and clawing for a lot of games. Now, Nussmeier might throw for 15 picks if he's throwing the ball that much. But, hey, if you're betting on guy leading the passing, leading the conference in passing, that's not a bad thing when you've got a wager on it.
Probably the most overvalued team on this list, I think I'm going to have to argue, Michigan at 14. Do you like them there? I think that's way too high.
Yeah, I'm with you. Great end of last season. Bryce Underwood's really intriguing. New offensive coordinator, you know, there's some good things there. But they lost almost all of their best players to the draft. I mean, the last 2 years have ravaged that team. It's not a roster that we could even recognize from 2 years ago. It's a coaching staff that's looking to prove themselves. When you're Sharon Moore, you have to make a new offensive coordinator hire. I'm not saying the guy's on the hot seat, but I do think that there is pressure on him, especially depending on what happens with their with the cheating scandal and how that plays out as far as punishment. There's going to be a lot of pressure on that situation, and especially with Mikey Keene being hurt, if Underwood has to play early, I think it's easier for them to trip up more often than not. And I think last year was maybe too far in the other direction, but I don't see a top 15 finish for that team. You're talking top 15, they're going to have to beat one of Penn State. They might beat Ohio State again. Who knows? I mean, they've got their number, but Oregon, like that, those are the type of wins that you have to log. And the Big Ten is pretty good this year. It's pretty deep. I like those middle tier teams. So for me, I look at them as maybe fringe top 25, but their season is next year. 2026 is that program's year. And I think this is going to be a bumpy year with a lot of new moving pieces.
The Vols come in at number 18 without Nico. You think that the quarterback room is good enough right now to sustain that ranking? Is one of the top 20 teams in the nation, minus a guy that was projected to be maybe a number one overall pick?
Yeah, they're interesting. I think they'll be fine because I like Nico's raw skill set. I think everyone does. But I think he was more part of the machine than he was the driver of it. Now, what he'll be this year and next year, I mean, at UCLA, it's hard to be super confident. But I tend to think that Josh Heupel has a situation where you can plug in a lot of somewhat decent guys. It's like Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. If you have a guy that can just make most of the throws and can make good decisions, it's going to be a good offense. It's going to be powerful enough, but they're going to come up short against the elite teams. They just don't have the trench talent, especially this year, to really compete at the highest level. But the SEC ends up beating up on itself. I do think that team is worth that ranking. It's a bit of a shame that Nico's not there, because it's a really perfect opportunity for him to kind of step up and grow. I really wish that would have played out differently, and I think probably all parties probably would like a mulligan on that one. But I think the team's good enough. It's just the teams ahead of them, I think, are more proven. They have higher upsides. That's the biggest thing for me. It's not that Tennessee's not good, but like South Carolina, LSU, even Alabama, I just think that they have a bigger ceiling and higher ceiling they can reach.
One spot behind them, can Kurt Cignetti keep up his aggressive attitude, let's call it, and lead Indiana back to another successful top 20 season?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I love what he did last year. I thought this year in the portal did a great job. He got his top receiver back, too, from the NFL, Elijah Surratt. Keeping him in town, I think, was a huge win. Getting Fernando Mendoza from Cal, a lot of people don't know that guy. He might be the top quarterback in this year's draft. Got a ton of skills. I think he's better than, at least more talented than last year's starter. And so I think it's just a matter of putting all the pieces together and how he's built that team. That's tough. That's tough to continue to win from the transfer portal. I think that there does bring a little bit more risk to that as opposed to developing from within. But I respect him a lot. He's super aggressive. I think he knows what he needs and his teams to win. I like the attitude that he brings to the table. And I think he does, though, that I think they're clearly, to me, the fourth best Big Ten team. If they came in third over Oregon, I wouldn't be truly stunned. Because I do think Oregon at quarterback, that I'm more worried about their quarterback position than I am Indiana's, which is kind of weird to say.
Yeah, we'll wrap up with a couple of Texas teams here. A&M, again, the coaches poll top 25 via USA Today coming out today. We're looking at it, breaking it down with Ian Valentino of A to Z Sports. Texas A&M at 21. Does their big spending finally let them do something, for lack of a better phrase?
I don't know how you can bank on them. You know, I like Marcel Reed, of course. You know, he came out talking junk too. Within 15 seconds of him talking in the press conference, it was like a week ago, saying, "Yeah, like I've heard the noise that I'm not a quarterback. You know, I'm just a runner." And I love that. Come out with that. And he hurt a lot of skeptics this last off season. And his numbers were decent enough. The film was decent enough. But yeah, there's just a roadblock there. I don't know until they prove it. It's kind of like Miami. For like that 10-year stretch where it's like the Joe, or even Texas, or, you know, are they finally back? I just got to see it, man. I got to see them get to the fringe of the playoff or even in the playoff before I can buy that team. There's something that is, there's just a major disconnect between the talent that they put out there and they recruit and then what they actually produce. And it's kind of mind-boggling that we've seen this happen time and time again over the course of several different program overhauls. I like Mike Elko, but and we've never seen him do it at this level. So it's a great question. I would bank on no, just because that's been their program history.
All right. And finally, before I let you go, one of the more intriguing teams of the offseason because of the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that they spent this offseason, Texas Tech earned themselves, with all of those millions, the number 24 spot. How do you like them?
I like them enough to win the conference. I could definitely see them win the conference. There's, you know, kind of talked about it with Indiana. It goes one way or another. It either really hits and it really works because the culture is not just built off of the millions and millions of oil money. If it's actually built around a foundation, and I think that McGuire is a good coach, what he was able to put together with kind of a Band-Aid and being thrown into that fire a bit, I think he's at least earned the respect to say, I think he can win the conference because it's a little bit of a down year too. Getting David Bailey from Stanford was huge. I think that was a really big statement piece for them, but you know, it wasn't the strongest transfer portal. It's not like they went out and got all Big Ten guys to come out there. So they're banking on some development. They're banking on some guys making that talent jump, but I don't think it's a year where, like, you know, Colorado's not going to be very good. Kansas State, you know, some guys like that. Like, there's going to be enough competition to where it's going to be, you know, come down to moments. I think a couple of games here and there, but I would not rule them out. And I do think that the momentum that they're building, if they do have a good season, that recruiting trail over the next year or two might be pretty insane because they have a lot of ins right now because of that money that they're spending. I mean, we saw it already. They got a 5-star committed for next year, and that's pretty legacy defining for them in a short order.
Real quick before I let you go, was there any glaring omissions on your part?
I don't think there was omissions. It's just like we said, like we kind of talked about, it's just kind of like the ranking of some teams that it was, I thought there was a little bit more of a blue blood kind of bias there. And you wish that you didn't see that. I know coaches are going to do what they're going to do. Like they all, you know, have their own agendas that they're going to push and they're not necessarily watching a ton of other teams. So I was a little bit disappointed to see that. I do hope we can see, you know, just maybe even teams like Texas Tech. I mean, those are teams that I'd rather see get a little bit more optimism. I think that fringe, though, it's an odd year because there's not a lot of returning talent. And it feels like this whole field is wide open entering the season, which will be fun.
Ian, appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat soon. And pretty soon we'll be talking about the actual product on the field. Can't wait.
I can't wait either. Thanks so much.
All right. That is Ian Valentino of A2Z Sports, one of our regulars, one of my favorites to talk college ball with, breaking down the latest rankings for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right. Coming up next, the Braves are playing the Brewers right now. So we're going to head out to Milwaukee. Welcome in Bart Winkler, who you hear after me most weeknights here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Also want to pick his brain on the Packers. I'm high on the Packers, but that division, man. Although, Oren, did you see Caleb Williams apparently had such a bad weekend to the point where they were like, enough, we're calling this practice, take your butt inside and think about what you've done, sir. Number one overall pick. We'll talk to Bart Winkler. Excited to do that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.